Hey, Rahul, how are you doing this week?
I'm doing great. How are you, Zach?
Fantastic. A few weeks ago, we were going to record an episode together. This is the final episode of Watch Time for now, as we know it. We were going to record, we ended up talking on the phone for about an hour anyway. But I think I was a little a little tired that day, and so we didn't do the episode, and we pushed it back. I think by a week and then another week because, that day I was talking to you, I was like, I've been looking at motorcycles and I've got one, but I want to upgrade.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the beginning. Like you're the first person I shared that with that day. and then it's like, I don't know about that. It was kind of casual. And then that weekend I went in to go look and I was approved to finance it and everything. And, they had it and it was a Harley Scorcher 1200, so a big upgrade from my current Honda Rebel 300. But in the Harley world, that's like the very entry level bike, and I was happy with that. And then I went to go actually do the deal, and I saw another bike in there that's called a Softail Fat Bob. And my current motorcycle is 300cc. The Sportster is 1200. This thing's 1750cc. So it was a big upgrade, and I bought it. Like I totally bought it. And owned it for 4 days, and I ended up in a different Harley dealer on a ride with some friends, and they saw the Fat Bob, and I was test driving a Livewire, which is Harley's electric motorcycle, and they offered to pay the full price for the Fat Bob that I just purchased like 3 days prior, and made a really good deal for the Livewire. So now I'm the driver of an electric motorcycle. In the Apple universe, if you watch Long Way Up on Apple TV Plus, they've got a version of Livewire that's like, Harley made it just for touring, for adventure. It's pretty similar. I mean, it's the same base motorcycle, but that's what I have now, and it is so much fun. I mean, if you think about electric cars and when you can go from like 0 to 60 in just a few seconds, it's the same way on a bike, but you're not like in a car's seat. You're in, you're on the machine itself, with the road right below you. And I all I can say is it's just thrilling. So when I say I'm doing well, I'm doing well right now.
Yeah. I am sort of envious. I saw some pictures of your new motorcycle and the previous one as well, which lasted, 3 days, 4 days? Both are incredible looking machines. And congratulations. Looks amazing.
Thank you. And I'm keeping the gas motorcycle, the Rebel 300, because it's capable in a different way than the Livewire is. And also nice. I'm teaching a friend to ride now, and he's using that and let him borrow it for the week. And then when people who also ride come to visit but don't have their bike with them, then we can ride together on that. So two bikes and infinite fun.
Yeah, and Livewire actually has a very beautiful orange on it, which is extra special.
So. Yeah, I got to pick the orange, and oh yeah, it's Tempo is orange.
Yeah.
Yep. So I want to begin this episode talking about some health homework that we had before. I know it's been a couple of weeks, maybe 3 weeks or so. So it's hard to say like what did you do the one thing two things. I can say I've been to the gym about every other day. That's my average, and I'm spending more and more time there when I do go. I'll kind of go during lunchtime hours and. No one's in there.
Nice.
And they have motorcycle parking. So
awesome.
That was how I got invited to one ride. Was there was someone else out there who was parked in the motorcycle parking, and we left at the same time, and it's like, hey, come ride with us. So that's fun. But the gym's been a thing, both here at my apartment and the one across town that I'm a member of. And that's been great, I mean, I never regret going, is what I'll say. And then with the sleep tracking stuff, because it's been so many weeks now. I've sent you a number of screenshots of like, what does the pillow app say was the sleep, data from the night before. And, I think we've kind of got a competitive REM sleep cycle going on. So, I don't know. I'd say for me, like it's either, I'm definitely like, I think the goal was to get up to 6 hours, get around that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I've hit the 8 easily.
That's awesome.
Being intentional.
Yep.
Yeah, being intentional about it. And I don't know how to like interpret the data even in the app myself. So sending it to you, and then you can, you know, comment on it and give me perspective. The really easy way without having to do any research has really been helpful too.
Yeah, I mean, your data has been the screenshots that you've shared are kind of really healthy looking graphs. You have like perfect like cycles going on with you know, light, deep, and REM cycles, and most of the times you've been sharing are like 8 hours or so, which is really good. How do you feel like generally compared to how it was, what, 3 or 4 weeks ago? You're probably getting, what, 4 or 5 hours, you said?
Yeah, I was definitely exhausted then. I mean, there was a lot going on with change, and now I've settled in to, you know, moving and having a rhythm with you know, having my son every other week. And yeah, so definitely got into the rhythm, and it feels good. I mean, I feel real. Sometimes I'll wake up at like 5 a.m., without my alarm going off.
Nice.
You know, which I'll have set for like the latest time that I need to have like a cup of coffee before I start working. So it'll go off like 2.5 hours early, and I'm like, all right, I'm awake. You know, it's nice to go out on the porch and before the sun's up, and, you know, kind of experience the world all on your own before the sun comes up and there's the traffic and everything around you. So yeah, it's been, I think that habit has been made because of being intentional about it, because of the work, the exercise of trying to improve that number.
Nice. Awesome.
What about yourself?
Yeah. So for me, the home, I believe I had 2-part homework. One was use the stand up feature on my desk. I can't remember which one you actually mentioned after we talked while recording, but you basically had another one, which was use the Breathe app a couple of times.
Okay.
So that
was a good idea.
Yeah, it was great. So I've been doing both. Stand-up feature on at my desk is something that I do on and off. So it wasn't that different, except that I try to do it a little bit more. It actually, the timing worked out good for me because I somehow hurt my back a few weeks ago, and I had to actually stand more because sitting was not helpful. I would highlight the fact that for me as a developer, I often find myself wanting to sit down if I'm going deeper into a programming zone where I have to think through a problem and then sit down and, you know, write down and, you know, just brainstorm with just drawing or something. For some reason, it just doesn't work for me to stand and write code, too much code, or think too deep. So I don't know how folks do that, but those who do that, kudos to them. The Breathe app itself has helped me get back into doing a little bit more meditation. I kind of dropped off late last year during the holidays and hadn't started back into it. And it's interesting how it starts. Every time I start using the Breathe app, after first handful of sessions, I tend to be like, I'm just going to continue meditating instead of just using the Breathe app. So it was a good starter for me to get back into that.
Good gateway.
Yeah, exactly. There is a really interesting part to the Breathe app that I will mention as a watch tip towards the end. We'll talk about it then.
Okay, cool. That means I should come out with one too. that's really cool. I've used the Breathe app never routinely, but anytime I do use it. Well, if I do use it, it's either a really good experience or I'm interrupted. It's just too on the nose. But yeah, that's good to hear. Let's talk about tempo for a little bit. So what's new with tempo? What are you working on that you can share? And you know, how's that going?
It's going overall well. I have a few things in the works. I released something fun last week. It was one of the Tempo beta users reached out to me and mentioned that Signal, the Messenger app, has stickers, and looks like there is no running stickers in Signal. And he was like, you should totally do that. And it would be kind of fun, as well as, like, you know, a good way to, like, spread the word. So thanks to Bruce, who shared that tip with me. And I was able to, like, pull out the stickers that Tempo has in the iOS app, which you can use in the messages, and release stickers for Signal. So if you are a Signal user, you can install, you can go to signalstickers.tempo.run, and it will redirect you to install the Tempo stickers. I think I shared with you a few of them before releasing as a test cycle. So that's something fun that I released. In the app itself, there are a couple of things I'm doing. There are some features that I updated, like filtering now supports date-based filters. It will come out in the next release. And then there's a really fun and big feature that I'm working on, which is taking me much longer than I anticipated. But part of it has to do with the fact that it's going to have a couple of phases, which probably will last through the end of the year. So you will see phase one, hopefully, before June. You know, I'm trying to finish it off before WWDC. That's where I'm at.
That's awesome. Good to hear. The stickers, I saw that with Signal. And actually, it's funny because you popped up on Signal because I saw that I use Signal, and I use it with, like, one specific group of friends who have Android phones. Some of them do. And so sending videos and pictures back and forth isn't really easy. Mm-hmm. So that was what they chose to use as our group. That was cool to see. It was timely. And I will say, so even with Happy Hour, we're going to wrap up the series in this episode, at least for a while. You know, I don't want to plan for the future, but at least for a while. But for anyone who's been following Tempo or uses Tempo, I think that just means more coverage on 9to5 Mac in written form, since we won't be speaking about it here, but I'll still be interested. So stay tuned for more on that.
Nice. Thank you for that.
Oh, you're very welcome. I want to get into a topic this week that I wrote about about the middle of April. And it was something that you and I have been talking about offline for a bit. And through my life getting more hectic than usual and major changes happening, I kind of had that feeling again that I've had before, where information overload is just too much to handle, and the Apple Watch is doing more harm than good. And I would go days at a time without wearing it, and I'd feel better. And that got me used to alerts coming through to the phone, you know, toggling the sound on and off on the phone. And I found that to be comforting. But then I'm still writing about, you know, these stories where people have, they learn things about themselves through sensors on the watch, you know, health related or life saving, you know, through communication, or even just going to the gym, like, you know, without the watch, you can do time based, you know, but anything that's a calorie goal is hard to know about, with accuracy without having, you know, the machine know my heart rate and details about me. So, I had to go from, you know, kind of that state of mind to getting curious about the watch again, to be like, now I know what I'm missing out on. And that kind of narrows down my definition of what I need to do with the watch and what I want to do with the watch. And it's made it just a whole lot better having that little break and then return. And what I thought about was, I'd worn the watch a version of the watch, always the latest version, every year since the release of the watch. And as a writer with 9to5 Mac, it's always, the angle's always been, you know, learn everything about it and base experiences off of that for writing stories. That's worked well for me. But it also means that I needed to, you know, I thought I needed to do everything all the time with the watch. And there's some things that I just didn't work for me, like the noise alerts. Those were a bit much for me, and you know, the false triggers and things like that. So I turned those off. But I tried to have every experience with the watch that I could, just for reference and writing. And I realized in that period, you know, that I can that part of the watch is personal in that if I'm doing it from that review perspective, you know, 5-6 years on, that's not how actual people use the watch. They use it in ways that fit them and they ignore the rest. And also for people who are like me, who, you know, normally you want to use everything about the product and get the most out of it, that it turns out if you make a few choices and decide that this is the use case, then you can get more enjoyment out of it without being overwhelmed. And also the fact that when the watch was brand new, we were all trying to figure out what it was for, you know, and what it was best at and how it fit in. And kind of reevaluating that and thinking, okay, well, you know, we're not in that state anymore. And if you're a new customer, you are. And so I wrote a story that was kind of advice for that, for what's working for me. But also just realizing that, you know, if you've been using it for years at a time, we're way past that state of what is this for, you know, test everything out. And we can, just like we use our iPhones, you know, we can decide, well, this is what I actually use about it, optimize it for that use. So, the overall theme of it was you know, making a decision about what you want to do with the watch, what you don't want to do with the watch, what isn't for you, and then going from there, and then looking at some features like, you know, if you install apps automatically from the start, then you get every new watch on your every new app on your watch. And that can be overwhelming because some apps are really good, some apps are really bad, some apps are not relevant to you. So it makes the kind of honeycomb grid or even the list view overwhelming. And I mentioned that I was using Messenger Things, Fantastical, Broadcast, Pillow, and Tempo. And I've added a few more apps to that list and since then. But I found that very useful. And then the thing was around notifications. So one thing that would bug me, it gives me anxiety, is the little red dot for alerts. It's like, mm-hmm. I always have an alert, so the dot's always there, and it doesn't mean anything if I'm also looking at it from my phone. You know, so I turned that off. I went through the mirrored iPhone alert section and turned off all but 5 alerts. And what's annoying there is mirrored iPhone alerts is good because it's like any alert that goes on your phone, you'll get it on your watch instead. So you don't miss anything. It's right there. But if it's, you know, there's a number of ways that can go wrong. And what I think the reason I've never done this before and just like toggled off all but 5, is because there's no button to say off by default, and then I'll opt into which ones I want, which is what I found to be useful for me. It's all or on by default, and you've got to choose which to turn off. And so I did that a few weeks ago. But I've also installed new apps since then on my iPhone that have nothing to do with the watch, and those are on by default. And I've got to go back through, like when I get an alert, I'm like, why is this app notifying me? I thought I handled this. I'm like, oh yeah, it's been since then. So I've got to go back and kind of do a little bit of tidying up in the watch app. But aside from that, you know, complaint, the actual, you know, strategy for me has been terrific. My phone vibrates in my pocket, and I know it's not, you know, it's not messages. It's not, you know, my son's daycare app. It's not, you know, just a few things that are important to me that I wouldn't want to miss and that I would put off onto the phone. So that alone has been really, 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 really useful.
Yeah. I was just nodding my head as I was reading through that post. I completely relate with it. That's exactly how I use my Apple Watch, and I think that's super healthy, and that's essentially how folks should approach it, at least to start it. I think a lot of us suffer through this with like the newness of a personal device, right? Especially with a device with like such a great set of abilities to do pretty much everything, right? It's like a computer in your hands and on your wrist, right? I mean, it happened with the iPhone, and now it happens with the watch. And very often we tend to forget the personal from that personal device concept. Yeah. And we try to make everything like, because of it's initially like just to see how it works and how cool it is. And it goes from there to like, oh, I'll just keep using it. And then you realize you're just getting like hammered with like all sorts of distractions, which are not needed. And it's fascinating to me because I used to use a super complicated watch face for the longest time with all different apps and complications. And these days I basically just use one basic one. I don't even have at times like tempo complication on my watch face, which is weird because it's my own app. But there are times when I'm like, I don't need to, because I have the tempo widget enabled and I can see things that I care about. And when I am updating the complications, when I'm updating things in the app, I enable it again. But it's as a developer, you never can like completely give up everything. And I think that's what essentially what you described for, you know, having to review and write a complete, offer the stories for prospects, like in terms of like, yes, this is how you can use these things. You have to try everything, right? And as a developer, I have the same issue where I have to have my app enabled in different ways, in different modes, which may not be all the scenarios that I want it to be enabled. And then there are apps which I like and I enjoy or I want to learn from. And I may not be using those apps all the time, but at the same time, I install them and I use them for a few days just because I want to see how they work and what I can, you know, understand and, you know, use as a best practice for my app. So yeah, it's something that is hard to balance, but at the same time, it's very important to put it away. And
yeah,
the keyword to me has always been like, you know, just remember the personal part. Communication is later from those devices. The communication aspect is just like, if you put it away, it just feels so much better. It's like last fall, I went on a break with my family, and I realized that I'm here with everybody. Nobody has to reach me right this second. And the only people who want to reach me for anything specific is my parents, and they can reach me on my wife's phone, which doesn't ring as often. So I put my phone literally away. Like I would not touch it for the entire day and not wear the watch. And by the end of that week, I came back and I texted some folks, like just my cousins and everyone, like, I hate this black rectangle in my pocket. And they were like, what are you talking about? You are an app developer. And I'm like, well, yes, but I kind of feel like I could literally just give it up and like walk away from all of it. And it took me a good week or two to get back into the regular life mode. I mean,
yeah,
don't get me wrong. Hate is probably a very strong word for something like
it's an extreme. I mean, being overwhelmed by it, but addicted is like an extreme.
Right.
Also the other, you know, and then you've got to correct that. And so, the other extreme is like, I don't want to touch technology at all, but the reality is we can't live in you know, healthy in either one of those.
So exactly.
It's the in-between that we've got to find, you know, and that's where defining purpose comes into play is this is what it's for. This is what it's not for. And you know, go from there.
Yeah. I mean, and ever since that time, I have essentially started putting my phone away in the evenings again. I mean, I think the pandemic kind of made it worse before you realized it. It was just like, you were just, you know, the concept of doom scrolling is real. It's like, we all have been doing that, right? So and with the watch, it's like, for me, the transition happened as my kids started growing up. And I realized I don't really need to have everything enabled on the watch. Like when the watch came out, my younger daughter was like a year and a half old. And during, you know, sitting with her during dinner time, feeding her or just attending to her, playing with her, it was very convenient to have your watch on and see like if somebody's calling you or texting you and you don't need to respond to that person immediately. And you could just ignore them. For me, that it was actually the opposite. It wasn't like, let me see who it is and I need to get back to them. It was more about, this message can wait kind of a mode for me. And that worked really well. But as she's grown up, I kind of don't have to be like, you know, it's not like I have a baby in my hand, you know, and I'm holding a baby and like, I have to like text somebody. She's old enough to like, you know, just run around in front of me and I can actually pull out my phone if I have to. So all the notifications have completely disappeared from the watch, and it's essentially now my personal health and fitness device, and that's what I target it with. That's all I care about. So it's running and it's sleep tracking and it's looking at the time. That's mostly it.
Yeah. For me, I even wrote a thing in this story that is a suggestion, which is to, I think this is probably what most people do, and it's just me catching up with everybody else, but pick one watch face, use that, mm-hmm. Don't change them a bunch. Just use one, get to know it. And then slowly add things to it, complications from apps, that you wish you saw at a glance, that you're like, I've got to write the date down and I don't know what it is in my head. Look at my watch. Oh, it's not there. If you do that enough times and you're like, I really want the date on my watch. Same for me, the weather is a big one. And yep. So I've got my heart. It's, I went from like just an empty California face to, now I've got five complications, but none of them overwhelm me. They all do something for me. So, the date, which launches the calendar to see events, but even just seeing it to write down the date on a form or something is very useful for me. In the kind of dial complication, there's my heart rate, which is, if it were like always high, then I think having it there would worry me unless I was taking action to lower it. But it's good because I look at it and I'm like 57 BPM. Okay, that's all right.
Mm-hmm.
Or if I'm like sitting still and it's like 107, I'm like, uh-oh, what causes this kind of thing?
Right.
And then also the temperature, the range today is 52 to 79. So how to dress depends on what hour it is. And then with riding motorcycles, I've added the rain percentage complication and the UV index. And at first I didn't know what to do with those bottom two complications that were open. And I realized weather is something that doesn't bother me. It only helps me plan, and it doesn't change the course of what I'll do. If it's going to rain or not, I mean, frankly, I'll still go ride. I'll just wear, a jacket and rainproof boots and that kind of thing. Or if it's like UVI is like 10, then, I'll wear long sleeves or mm-hmm. make sure I wear sunscreen, and if it's like 2, I'm like, okay, it's informational without overloading me. And that's been very useful. I also added cellular for the first time in a long time. And the way that I used to use cellular was to stream music and then also be in, have an open line of communication if I go for a run without my phone. And most of what I've been doing lately is at the gym, and my phone can be there. It's not a problem. But it has been that, like you said, if your family's in front of you, then all that you care about is in front of you, and you don't have to worry about that line of communication. And you're also able to, I think about this a lot with like iPad workflows. If I did an iPad workflow, I'd have to rely on colleagues with Macs to do some things.
Mm-hmm.
Similar to that is if you have a partner whose iPhone you can rely on, that's totally strategic. What for me and just being solo in this endeavor is, I went on a date a few weeks ago and, I left the phone in the car and I just had the watch with cellular and because it was a date, I never looked at it. Like I had theater mode on, so I wouldn't even like raise my wrist and check it. It was just blank screen. When the person, stepped away for a few minutes, I was so proud of myself because I had no phone to look at, which is like the instant reaction, when you're by yourself again at like a restaurant or something. It's like, pull out your phone and don't be, doing nothing. So I didn't have the phone to do that. I like tapped the screen on the watch, nothing new, no alerts that I missed. So I would have had them anyway. And then I just kind of looked around and just like thinking about the environment around me and the colors I was seeing and shapes and everything, I was proud to not be like the person on the phone and that, and not just because, it's something that I think more people should do, but because it was rewarding in the moment in itself. And it further gave my watch purpose in that if I go a whole month and I never go for a run without my phone, it's okay because there are still those moments where I leave the phone in the car or mm-hmm. and and it's, I don't have to think about it. So, and that's a little bit of a premium for that experience, but, to just having, again, defining the purpose of it, what it is for, what it's not for, helps you, I think, with have a clarity in that decision-making process.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. As you were describing these, I realized that, you know, if I were to pick any kind of feature requests for the next version, I would be looking at, like, you know, something like, let me configure what kind of watch face can I get at what time of the day? Kind of like underscore David Smith's, you know, Watchsmith app, but on steroids with the watch faces, right?
That
would be pretty neat. The other thing is, like, just having, like, configuration, like, you know, what you were describing about the heart rate, based on multiple factors around, like, all this health and fitness data that it notifies you with. You know, like, activity rings is great, but, you know, I mean, we all have talked about, like, being able to configure activity rings with other things. Just, you know, and I think this is also device dependent too, but it would be kind of neat to have more things like, you know, what is my skin temperature? And then, like, notify me about, you know, combination of those things. Hey, what are you doing? You're just sitting there and for some reason your temperature's high and your heart rate is high. Something else is going on. I mean, yeah, there is the heart rate notification, but that seems like just a step one right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I wrote a few things on a feature request in this story as well. The first thing is pretty simple. Just with an always on display watch, there's a setting for it in the settings app to either have it on or off. And you can toggle that in the settings app, but you can't do it through Control Center unless you're using theater mode, which is a combination of modes. It's to turn the watch face, like, raise to wake feature off temporarily, and to enable do not disturb. And, you know, I would like just to have a little toggle there. And there's so many, and you can edit them and rearrange them and remove certain ones that you don't need. But to have one that's just the always-on display toggle.
Yep.
So when I need to really focus and don't even want to see, like, the screen light up at all, toggle always-on display off. Or even if you're like, you know, I want to save battery today because I'm going to, you know, really push this thing to its limits in terms of power and battery, then you could say toggle right there. And it's way better than, you know, going to the honeycomb of the list and going to settings and finding the right setting for it and toggling it and then having to do it all in reverse again. That's what Control Center is all about, is like quick access to easy controls. And there's also a gesture that I learned about, like, late in the first watch release, and my happy hour colleague Benjamin Mayo did as well, was if you get an alert, you can cover the screen with your hand, and it'll go from, if you're in sound on mode, it'll go to sound off mode. So it's muted. It not only mutes that alert, but future alerts as well until you toggle it back. And that hand gesture to cover the watch face, that would be so cool if they rethought it and they said, well, people are either going to be muted or not muted and they can change it in the Control Center. Let's make that, if you cup the watch face, it toggles always on display mode. So, and it would look really cool, like, as a demonstration. You put your hand over it, it knows. Screen becomes off if your wrist is lowered. Do it again, it comes back on when you pull your hand off, and it'll look like a magic trick. So I would love that. And then the other thing is you know, you can do custom ringtones for contacts on the iPhone. And I've since 2015, I've asked for that on the watch, since the very first watch review,
right,
like 6 weeks after its release. And I've kind of amended what I'm requesting there, because I would still love it to be like, if you have sound on, to have different tones for different people, or even like a different tone for mail than you have for messages if you have email alerts, and you can't do that right now. But they've added this thing on the iPhone, because the iPhone got the haptic engine, or the taptic engine that the watch has, starting with the 6S and on. And so the iPhone is really good at doing vibration patterns, just like the watch. It came from the watch. And so on the iPhone, you can do custom vibration alerts. So you can say, for this contact, you know, do a tap, 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 you know, and for this one, do tap, 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 you know, different patterns. And then you can recognize it based on that. That would be perfect on the watch. It's like, if you're always muted, then the text tone won't make a difference. But because the the Taptic Engine is such a part of the experience with the watch, then being able to say, you know, have a standard, you know, tap for all messages except for this contact and this contact, and that's the one that, you know, then do you even want to like look up at the watch face or if you're in a meeting, or can you ignore it, you know? I think that'd be a very, very neat thing to do. And then having a VIP system for messages on the iPhone and the Apple Watch, because mm-hmm. you can do VIP for phone calls.
Yep.
And any app that uses the VoIP API. So if Skype comes in like a phone call, you know, you can have VIP works there. But you can't do VIP for messages, even on the iPhone. You know, you say, if I'm in do not disturb mode, I only want these contacts to come through. You know, works for a phone call, doesn't work for messaging. And having that both on the iPhone and the Apple Watch would be a really healthy feature to include.
Yeah, let's hope come June we are going to see all, if not all, most of these.
Yeah.
I mean, some are hardware specific, so we'll probably not see them until fall, but we'll see.
Yeah, that's right. And that is the next point to look forward to is WWDC for the next round of software updates. And then again in the fall with hardware.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I decided what my tip is going to be.
Let's hear it.
Okay. It's going to be to read my story, toning down the Apple Watch, because it's full of tips. It's right in the title, Tips and Feature Requests to Avoid Being Overwhelmed. So we'll have a link for that in the show notes. So that's my easy way out. I mean, seriously, it's a bunch of tips. Like, it helped me a lot.
I can't disagree with you. When I started reading that, I was like, this is like, you know, the tips taken. It's like Watch Tips Plus from Zach.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And you teased yours earlier in the episode. So what's yours this week?
So my tip is actually about HRV, heart rate variability, which not a lot of people know. And I learned this from one of the very helpful and, you know, like somebody who's like one of the best tempo beta users I have, Stephanie. She helped me find bugs and even troubleshoots at times, which without her, I don't think, tempo would be as pristine as possible. But basically what she had mentioned was you can actually track your HRV every time you do a breathe session. Every time you use a breathe app, the app actually, the watch will record your HRV. And for those who don't know what HRV is, at a very high level, if I can do justice in describing that, because it's a very complex data point, but it's very useful, is essentially it's heart rate variability. And it's not same as heart rate, but it is a lot more insightful than heart rate generally. In terms of like how you are, especially if you're working out or you are in any kind of like performance kind of a situation where you want to measure, like, are you ready or peaking for something? So the general concept is if you consider your heart rate and you measure your heart rate to be, say, 60 beats per minute, you might think that your heart always beats as one beat per second, which is not really true. What really happens is it's like between each beat. So one first beat might be at 0.9 seconds, and the second beat might be at like, I don't know, 1.2 seconds. So there is a variance that is happening between different beats. And that variance is what describes the heart rate variability. So it's usually measured in milliseconds. So because it's like, you know, 0.9 to 1.2. And the general idea is, it's based on our autonomic nervous system, which is essentially our subconscious nervous system, where our body is just, I think there are two parts to our nervous system, which one is like, you know, for rest and digest, and the other one is like fight and flight. And they both send signal to our heart to beat or not beat. I think the rest and digest is like, you know, calm down, chill out. Fight and flight is like, you know, beat harder. And the heart has to balance that. So if the heart can react to both of them in a decent way, the variability kind of goes up, which means it's, you know, it's handling the stress normally. And the stress here can be, you know, physical stress based on your workout activity or just generally like, you know, you've traveled too much or gone for like, you know, a 10-hour bike ride and whatever it is, right? Or not slept well. Or it could be like a psychological stress, emotional stress, your nervous system just reacting to it, or just, you know, any kind of physiological, like you might have gotten a vaccine shot and your body is just like recovering or creating those antibodies. And like now, you know, your heart is just working on it. So HRV actually shows that kind of spike up and down. And the important part here is to establish a baseline. So if you go in the health app, you will see that usually our Apple Watch will measure the HRV a few times a day. Usually it does it like first thing in the morning when you put your watch on. And then sometimes during the day, if you're sitting still or something, or if you do a breathe session, it would do it at that point too. So it's a good way to like for it to detect like, you know, how things are going. And if you can identify that over weeks worth of time, you establish a baseline. And based on that, you can decide based on your workout activity, you can correlate to that. If, you know, if the HRV is going up, that means you are kind of like performing and at the same time you're recovering well. So you can perform, you can do your workouts harder, assuming you're not feeling any kind of like, you know, muscle aches or whatnot. But if it is dipping, then maybe even if you're feeling like you can go harder, you shouldn't because your general system is not ready for it. So it's really useful data point. I hate to say this, that it doesn't exist in Tempo just yet. I'm actually working on putting that together as well. Cool. But that is one of the things that the Breathe app, when you mentioned to me that I should use, I was like, oh, that's a really great tip. And I'm thankful that Stephanie shared that with me and everything else she helps me with Tempo. So that's my tip.
And so as it relates to watch time, you know, for all intents and purposes, this is the final episode of the series. But, you know, if summer rejuvenates us, namely me, and you know, people want to hear more, I'm not opposed to taking it off the shelf, you know, for a limited series in the future again. And I especially want to, you know, I want to thank all the listeners who've made this possible. It's been beneficial to me in ways that it's hard to express, but just being able to have these conversations with people has been really good for me. And then, of course, to you, Rahul, because you coming on and doing these 6 episodes with me helped me have a landing path for like where to put this thing, you know, how to finish what I've signed up for. So really appreciate you doing this for these 6 episodes. And I think you've been a natural at it.
Well, I don't know about that part, but I would say thank you for letting me, you know, be part of this. I think, you know, aside from the personal growth that I feel has happened, hopefully it has happened. The listeners can tell us more. I mean, I feel like I've grown some sort of a podcasting muscle here, and I wouldn't be opposed to or as shy of doing more of it if needed, wherever, whether it's here or, you know, you and I have talked about like other ideas and whatnot, but we'll see. Yeah. But overall, I think this has been a great podcast in general. I can relate to a lot of stories, and it's really, really amazing to, you know, just generally be able to connect with so many folks who I've not met and I hope to meet someday. So we'll see. But yeah, you do a phenomenal job in, you know, bringing out the best and putting the stories together so well. I think you're calling me Nash. What you have the magic here. So thank you for letting me be part of this.
Yeah, and also thanks to our audio editor for these last few episodes, Seth Krakowski. He's someone, you know.
Oh yeah,
editing shows is something that does not. It's not a pleasure of mine. And that was the bottleneck for a lot of this. So having him on board to edit the audio is fantastic. So thanks to Seth.
Yeah, Seth, thank you. I mean, yeah. He does a phenomenal job. He's so fast at it. It's like, I mean, it takes me longer to listen to the podcast, and he's like already posting it.
Yeah, so he does a full listen through, which is something I don't do.
It's amazing
shows, so. Unless I know that there's a specific thing that needs to fix. But yeah, thanks so much for doing this. Thanks everybody for listening. You can find Tempo for running in the App Store on the iPhone and Apple Watch. You can find Tempo stickers both on the iMessage App Store and now the Signal Sticker Store. Is that right?
Yeah, there is no specific Signal Sticker Store. I think there is an unofficial site. I don't know if it is official by Signal or it is like a open source, like somebody else hosting it. It's called signalstickers.com. But if you wanted to go directly to Tempo's Signal Stickers, you can go signalstickers.tempo.run and it will show you a link to just install it, whether you're on your desktop or on your iPhone. It will, you know, or even Android for that matter. It redirects you to the right location to install that.
Yeah.
And Tempo in general, you know, if you want to ever share with anybody or just install the app, you can just go to tempo.run and it would take you to the App Store link.
Cool. Nice. All right. Anything else? Where are you on Twitter? You've got a couple of Twitter accounts.
Yeah. So Tempo is Tempo Log. And I am personally, I'm R-M-A-T-T-A, Armada on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And yeah, those are the two. I have an indie account, but I hardly use it. So okay. Yeah.
I put together, I think last week, apollozac.com as the domain for like a link tree service that has all the links to everything. So now I can just say apollozac.com, APOLOZAC.com.
Nice.
And it's got a link to my current work, past work, social, everything like that. So, all right. Well, thanks for everyone for coming along for these episodes and you know, maybe we'll be back, but regardless, you'll still be doing Tempo and I'll still be doing NFF Mac, and now people know where to find us. So thanks everybody for listening.
Thank you. Bye.